Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Where is the beef?
Hey, how you doing?
Hold on to your butts.
Feels like an Arby's snack.
Son of a... That's gonna leave a mark.
Chili, baby back rib.
Well, what if there is no tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
Whoopsie! This is Tom and Jim's Top 5. Naming their top 5 lists on everything pop culture. Celebrating the 90s. Sports, movies, music, and more. They're not authorities. Just grown children. Here's your hosts, Tom Skull and Jim Doubt.
So now, I basically understand what you can and what you cannot bring across state lines. So lesson learned on that one.
Yeah. Wisconsin sucks anyway.
Yeah, we have a lot of listeners from Wisconsin. So just I'll say parts of it.
Wait, Minnesota borders Iowa, right?
And Wisconsin?
Yeah, okay, we'll say Iowa sucks because Illinois borders that too, and we can both gang up on Iowa.
Right, because you have issues with Iowa.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if we've actually had any listeners from Iowa yet.
I actually like Iowa.
I don't mind Iowa. I've been to Des Moines a few times.
Yeah, Des Moines. I mean, I grew up across the Mississippi from Davenport, so I'll claim Davenport too.
Yeah, let's just claim it. The Quad Cities, Jim.
Quad Cities, all four of them.
Good, good. I think we're recording. Yeah.
No, the Quad Cities are twice as nice as the Twin Cities.
No, untrue. Anyway, hey, this is Tom and Jim's Top 5. I am Tom.
I'm Jim.
That lovely voice you hear is Jim. How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. How are you doing?
Good. You sound fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
We
got over that cold.
Yeah, that's what it was. We're trying something new. We listen to the people. The people have spoken. They want more Jim, but they don't want Jim cutting out on the cell phone anymore. That's what they want.
And neither did I. I listened to the show, and it was really annoying to me.
Yeah, and we apologize for that. But hey, we're only, 12 episodes in. You know, every show has its hiccups, and that was one of ours. And I hope this has solved it. We'll see.
This conversation brought to you by Skype.
Yeah, yeah. They're not paying us yet, so it's just not brought to you by something like Skype. If you want to donate to the show, no, okay. We're not there yet. Anyway. Well, so, hey, how you doing, huh?
Great.
Great, great, great. I've missed you, Jim. It's been a week.
It's been a week.
It's been a week.
It's been a week.
Jim, I'm getting tired. We got to...
Of me?
No. Well, yeah, yes and no. But,
okay.
We need to... I'm excited about this show. We're doing top 5 breweries. I'm excited. But we got to limit our... or space out our product ones. Because the research for these is... borderline going to either get me a divorce or I'm just going to fall asleep and never wake up.
Yes, no, I totally agree with that. My wife already hates me, so this does not help the matter.
Right.
Although interesting,
yeah.
Really what it comes down to, Tom, is we want to provide the best quality product we can for the listeners of our show. That's really what it comes down to.
Sure, yeah. Jim said it. Let's go with that.
Yep.
Yeah. No. Doing a show every week is fun, but we're gonna space out. We'll probably still come around every week, but what we're gonna do is we're gonna have to put something like do a show that's in our wheelhouse that we don't have to do all this research on, you know, like
right. Yeah. You know. Just an actual conversation instead of a lot of Wikipedia.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, and we're gonna end up getting slapped with a plagiarism lawsuit or something anyway one of these days, but. Anyway, so hey, let's. So what'd you do this week? Anything new?
I got a new cell phone.
Ooh.
Me and the wife both got new cell phones. Our phones, if we had them fully charged when we went to bed, they'd be dead in the morning. My wife was missing her alarm, so it was about time to.
Wow. So
get
you
rid of the phone.
Would you have like a Nokia 300 or what'd you have?
It was a Razer flip phone.
Wait, you're yep. joking, right?
You know, I'm joking. Okay. My wife's phone, we had replaced the battery on a few times to try to get it to last I bought a battery a few weeks ago, and when I took it to AT&T store, they pulled out and looked at the battery, and she's like, yeah, this is about ready to explode, so it's probably a good thing that you came in. She pulled it out, and she's like, you see how it's bowed? It's not supposed to do that. Hmm. It's like, okay, noted. I'm going to leave an Amazon feedback.
Wow, good. Good for you. You leave that feedback. And if any of you want to give us some feedback, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or Podbean. And you know what? If you have an iPhone,
Look at that segue.
You like that?
See how that came around?
You like that?
If you have an, good, buddy.
If you have an iPhone,
like Katie Couric over here.
Thank you. I look like her, which I don't know who that hurts more, me or her. anyway, if you have an iPhone, like I have the iPhone, and with the podcast app on it. On my favorite podcasts I like to listen to, such as this one, I hit the subscribe button, and then automatically downloads to my phone. So I wake up, I'm ready to go. I don't have to go find it. You know, like we post it on Facebook and Twitter, and you know the link. You don't have to do that. It's already on the phone. That's amazing.
Already there.
Yeah.
Already on there.
So subscribe. Whatever one you, whatever podcast app you use, hit the subscribe button. You don't have to worry about, you know, you know, asking me, hey, when's the next show going to be? It'll be up. It'll pop up when it's ready. So, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Y'all worked up about it.
I know. But I'm excited. I want people to listen. We have a good following. We want it to keep growing, I think.
I agree. All right.
Okay, so you got new phones. Let's go back to that. So, are you an iPhone, Apple people, Samsung people? Where are we going here? BlackBerry?
We are Samsung. We've had Galaxies for quite a few years now.
Nice. Yeah, good phones. I have many friends who have those.
Yeah. So we did the Galaxy 7s. Both of us did that. I would have done the Note, but obviously it's blowing up, so I can't get the Note.
Don't get that one right now.
I've had the Note. My last two phones have been Notes, and I love it. But this is a great phone. The Galaxy 7's pretty bomb. .com.
And I assume you're talking on it right now, and you sound...
I am.
Adorable. I am.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks.
I have...
This old voice. Go on.
Oh, gosh. Like a bird. I have the 7 also, but it's an iPhone 7. So look at that. We're kind of in common. So. Yep. But I already told my story about the iPhone 7, how I did not want to get it. But, I mean, that was a whole thing. We came back from snowshoeing. It broke. It was a whole – that whole day I talked about it was being a shit sandwich. So.
Yes. Yeah, so, classic conversation. Classic Dom.
Let's not rehash that. Let's not rehash that. So that's cool. What else happened this week? Anything?
No, that's pretty much it. That was the highlight of my weekend.
Great.
Yeah. What about you, Thomas?
Oh, well, Jim, thank you for asking. Thank you.
I'm here for you, buddy. You know, I want to show you that I care through my words and action.
I didn't do much. Let's see here. We're recording this on Monday evening. I had Friday off, so my son and I hung out all day. We had a dude's day. I like to call it dude's day. Yeah, and we went for pancakes, and. And then we hung out, we built some Legos. We watched Scooby-Doo again. We watched Scooby-Doo today. We watched Scooby-Doo a lot. He's really into Scooby-Doo all of a sudden, which is great. I'm fine with that. I love Scooby-Doo. So,
you know, the weird thing is, Tom, I don't have a kid, and you just described my days off.
I know. Isn't that great?
It's awesome.
It's the best thing about having a kid. If you start them young, you get them involved in the stuff you like. Well, they don't know any better.
Well, fortunately, when I have a kid, I hope to start him young also.
Well, yeah. I mean, start him young on the stuff you like. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't adopt a 35-year-old, but because you already got me. So.
Right.
Hey, it's my birthday this week, Jim. I'm just going to be celebrating a birthday. Yeah.
I'll send you a meme.
Oh, thank you. I look forward to the constant Facebook notifications. This can be great.
And then you just send the one reply back. Thanks to everybody for their birthday wishes.
No, I'm just going with the one word, thanks. That covers it all, I think.
It does.
Yeah.
A whole year of everything.
Can I just say now thank you for the birthday wishes, and I don't even have to worry about Thursday?
Yeah, because now I don't need to send you one. So this works out great.
Thank you. I'm actually excited. We are my birthday's on Thursday, but we work the next day. And so we're going to go out Friday evening. We're going to go to dinner. There's this new smokehouse in town, and I've been dying to try it. And I've heard very good things, and so I'm excited to go get some brisket or something.
You know, it's also St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, but it is. But that's for the kids.
It is. It's amateur night.
Yeah, but that's actually why St. Patrick's Day is why we're doing breweries this week. You know, we thought, hey, a lot of people would be drinking this week. So we drink all the time, so let's just drink and do a show.
You know, interesting. This has been on my mind. I've been saying this to people, and nobody really cares. So I'm going to say to you and people listening, because you don't have the option of hanging up right now. What I thought was kind of interesting is that St. Patrick's Day is on a Friday this year, and if you're Catholic, it's Lent, and you can't eat meat, so you can't eat corned beef on Friday on St. Patrick's Day.
I am not Catholic. I am going to destroy that meat.
Well, I looked that up, and apparently some dioceses are giving you a free pass on Friday if you're Catholic. You know, just have to abstain from meat on Saturday is what they're saying.
I got to tell you, Jim, this new pope, he's an interesting guy.
He's shaking things up.
He's shaking things up in a good way, not like, other people.
In a good way, yeah.
Not like other people that are running for, I don't want to talk about it. Jesus. No, we had to go there. I know. I'm sorry. Hey, we had a few comments, not as many as last week, but a couple comments. One comment was from my brother. I told him we're doing breweries. I put on Facebook that we're going to be doing our top five breweries. And, of course, he puts in, well, Elsinore Brewery is the best. And, he means that from the movie Strange Brew. If any of you have not seen the movie Strange Brew, please check it out. Our Canadian friends who are listening, which, Jim, we're still getting a lot of downloads in Canada. They love you.
Love it.
They love you.
Love it.
They know Elsinore Brewery, and of course, in that movie, made famous by the SCTV guys, and I own that movie. I should have watched it this week to prepare for this episode, but I didn't even think of it. Probably because I've been drinking too much. Yeah. Anyway, I got another comment about Jim. People seem to really agree that I am mean to you.
Well, it's because you are.
Okay. I'm listening. I'm listening now. At first, I wasn't listening. I was just letting you talk. Now I'm listening. Tom, I'm here to help.
I see you, Tom. Okay. Tom, I see you.
Okay.
I see you. Just hear me. Just listen.
Got it.
No, that's just how that's just how we banter for the last 12 years that we've known each other. So,
right.
I just don't take offense to it, you know?
No.
And I do it to you. I just don't usually do it on this show, so right. I don't come across looking like an asshole.
Right. And when Jim says that, yeah, he doesn't take offense to it. I don't take offense to it either. But bear in mind, I do mean to be mean to him. Like, I am trying to hurt his feelings. So just... You know, just take that into consideration. Like, I'm trying to be mean. So.
You do it so effortlessly, though.
Yeah.
It's just so seamless with you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we're friends. It's easy to be mean to you.
Is it?
Is that a good way to be friends?
I think it's because when I moved to Tulsa, I had no friends, and it was basically just you.
Yeah.
And then I met other people, and you wouldn't leave me alone.
Right.
Yeah. You were like that kid you met the first day in the dorm.
Oh, God. No. Come on. That's mean.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That kid. Yep. Oh.
Not even wearing shower sandals.
Oh, that kid. Oh, man. I didn't. You know, Jim, I never stayed in the dorm. So I don't know that kid.
Really?
No, I was. I went to college near the same hometown I grew up in. So I lived at home for a while. Then I went to an apartment with friends. So I never did the first year in the dorm. I kind of wish I would have, but people don't wear sandals in the shower, and I could end up with a foot fungus.
I did my first 2 years in my hometown at a JUCO.
Ooh.
And lived with my parents, and then I went to my 4 year, and I did my junior and senior year in the dorms.
Wow. Nerd alert!
Yeah.
Cool.
It was awesome.
Great. Good.
Well, wouldn't change a thing.
Yeah, you'd probably change a few things if you could go back, but let's not get into that right now. So yeah, okay. We talked about all. We had the comments. Oh, we're also seeing we seem to be making people hungry with our after school snacks episode, our cereal episode. People were really happy with the Fruit Loops. Got a lot of comments on people were hoping we had Fruit Loops in there. So I'm glad I was able to help him there. I will say one person said that your first two picks, they were kind of bored. They didn't like the Cheerios and Frosted Flakes, which I disagree with the Frosted Flakes. And it wasn't just Cheerios, it was Honey Nut Cheerios, and you're right, huge difference.
Huge difference, but I did preface that pick with, it's extremely boring.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And it's a very, very basic cereal, and I totally understand that. I get it. Yeah. I get it.
So I'm not the only one that's mean to you. You see how it is? It's a theme here.
I also noticed that when people are mean to me, you make sure to text me and make sure that I know that people are mean to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at 2 in the morning, I'll text you to make sure you get that
away. I'll get a screen grab of, look what this person said against what you said.
Yeah. Yeah.
So keep those coming.
They'll be coming. So anyway, if you want to comment to us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Jim, you haven't posted an Instagram picture in a while. I encourage you. To do that right now.
I meant to ask you about that. Did you change our password to Instagram?
No, I've never been able to log in. That's why I let you do it.
Because mine logged me out and said someone changed our password.
Oh, well, maybe.
And now I can't log back in.
I did our Twitter. Did I do the? I don't think so. Whatever. Figure that out. We'll figure that out. We'll get some pictures up there. Sorry if you have been waiting for us to post something stupid. Hasn't happened yet.
Or maybe someone actually hacked our page and is actually posting pictures, in which case, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. I mean, what?
What?
No. Yes. No. Thank you for doing that, because we've been falling back on that. But yeah. So anywho, okay. Well, Jim, let's get right into it. Our top five breweries. We had a stipulation on this one.
Yes.
Because we wanted to do our top beers, but you and I are borderline alcoholics, and so we drink. I like a lot of beer. I like a lot of. I drink hard alcohol. I like wine. I like beer. You know, so. To narrow down a couple beers, I drink my beers based on season, you know.
Yeah, me too. Oh yeah.
So we're in the middle. So like right now, I'm getting into like the spring, early summer beers, but I'm still on the winter beer. So like, I couldn't narrow down a beer. So we thought, let's do breweries, and we had a couple stipulations, Jim. Which are?
They had to be distributed at least somewhat regionally. It can't be just a one-state brewery.
No, it has to be like at least five states.
At least. It has to be something that other people can actually get. It can't be something that only I can get because it's the little brewery down the street from me.
Right, right. And you had to, like, to make it into your top five, you had to like at least two of their beers from each brewery.
Oh, yeah, that's not a problem.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. Well, you mentioned the local beer thing. Well, okay, let's just get into it, because two of my favorite breweries of all time are here in my hometown of Duluth, Minnesota. Well, let me little sidebar on this, because I want to give them a little props, even though I can't put them in my top five.
Sure.
I live in Duluth, Minnesota. It's about 86,000 people, with the surrounding areas, and then Superior, Wisconsin, right across the bridge. Total market people probably like 120,000 total in the area. Not very big. We have 13 microbrews, craft breweries in that 120,000 people area. So we like our beer here in Duluth. And so two of my favorites are it's one called Bent Paddle, which you can only get in one state. So sorry. I believe two. I believe we can get in Wisconsin as well. And the other one is Castle Danger Brewery. And so I just wanted to say their names, because I drink their beer a lot. And I, if anyone from there is listening, thank you. I'm sorry you wouldn't make my top five, but you're definitely my top beers ever. So there you go.
And for me, though, the one that was kind of the same was Four Peaks Brewery out of Tempe.
Ooh.
They only distribute in Arizona, but that is a fantastic brewery. That's all I drank when I lived in Phoenix, and their main one is called Kilt Lifter. It's a Scottish ale.
Ooh.
And that's like the go-to beer for most people in the Phoenix area. When you go out, you just get that on draft. It's at every bar, Kilt Lifter.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and my favorite from Bent Paddle is their Harness IPA. And my favorite from Castle Danger is their Double Crossing IPA, which is like a double IPA. Drink one of those, and you just call in sick the next day. So it's kind of nice.
Beer.
Okay, well, let's get into our top five breweries.
Yes.
Would you like to start, James?
I will start, Sir Thomas. Thank you.
Oh yeah, no problem. Crinkles.
I don't even know. Okay. My number five is. It's distributed in 16 states.
Uh-huh.
It's 188 years old.
Ooh.
It is Yingling.
Ah, the oldest beer in America, Jim.
The oldest beer in America. They don't make a lot of beers. They have a premium, a porter. They make a black and tan. Their traditional amber lager, which is the main Yingling. Mm-hmm. They make a light. They make a Chesterfield ale, which is hoppy. And they do an Oktoberfest for about 2 months.
Ooh,
and that's it. Yeah, theirs is pretty good, too. It's kind of a lighter Oktoberfest.
Okay.
So to talk about Yingling, I figured a short timeline would be a little more appropriate considering that they're 188 years old.
Here
so there's just a few bullet points. It's not long.
No,
I don't appreciate the tone.
I was gonna promote you saying, this is Jim's wheelhouse. It's time to go to school. Professor Doubt, take it away.
No, this isn't a Frosted Flakes thing here. It's just a short timeline. Hate you so much. So in 1829, David Yingling, he came over from Germany to Pottsville, Pennsylvania, and he started Eagle Brewery in Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
2 years later, it burned down. They rebuilt where the current Yingling facility is still in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. And it stayed Eagle Brewery for another 42 years. In 1873, they changed it when his sons became partners to D.G. Yingling and Sons, which is what it is still.
Okay.
In 77, David died at age 70. His sons took it over. In 1899, his son died and his son took it over. And this is what I thought was interesting, because most breweries that we're going to talk about weren't around at this time. Tom, what happened in 1919 in our country?
World War One.
Close. The 18th Amendment.
Okay.
Which was Prohibition.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I've heard of it. Prohibition. Yeah.
Right. So in 1919, they started making near beer with 0.05% alcohol to actually keep their business alive.
Right.
Then they started a dairy, actually. Yingling Dairy started in 1920. Which I thought was kind of interesting because they needed to make money somehow.
Right.
Luckily, in 1933, Prohibition stopped, and they produced a beer called Winter Beer and shipped a truckload to President Roosevelt. In 63, Frank died. He was the chairman of the board for 64 years, and his sons took over. So it's just keeping in the family. In 76, that's 1976, they were placed as on the National and State Registry for the oldest brewery in the country. In 85, another son bought out his father, Dick Yingling, and he reintroduced the traditional amber lager, which is their number one seller in the main Yingling. If you're going to go to a bar and order Yingling, that's what you're getting.
Right. And that's the only one I've enjoyed.
And that's the one most people have ever tried is the main amber. In 99, they bought out the old Stroh's beer plant in Tampa, which
by the
Stroh's,
way,
if,
go ahead. You're going to say it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it's your night.
No, go.
If my friend Neil is listening,
yes.
We went to college together and all we drank was Stroh's because they sold a 15 pack for like $4.25.
Right.
So Yingling bought out the Stroh's plant in Tampa and then they started distributing in Ohio. They just started distributing in Ohio in 2011. That's how regional Yingling kept it. Pennsylvania, New Jersey, very, very East Coast, very regional.
Right. Yeah, and, I can't get it here in Minnesota. I've had it when I was in Florida.
Yeah, I started drinking it when I would see my in-laws. We would go vacation in Delaware. Look at me. I'm in Delaware.
Nice.
We go to Delaware and drink it. And the only it makes me think of seafood. It's like perfect with oysters and crab legs and stuff like that. So to me, it's like a beach drink and great with seafood. That's what I think of. So when we moved here, we obviously couldn't get it in Arizona. We were driving across the country, and when we hit about Missouri, I turned to my wife and I was like, realize we can get Yuengling now. And that made the entire move worthwhile. from Phoenix to Cleveland, that we can actually buy Yuengling. So that's all I bought for probably the first 6 months I lived here.
And just so you know, Jim was not drinking or driving anything. He just bought it. They went somewhere safe, and they enjoyed their Yuengling.
My wife was driving, so I can drink.
No, Jim.
That's
Jim,
the way that works,
Jim,
right?
This is on. This is recorded.
I'm trying to help you out.
You can do a lot of things in Texas, Jim.
You can.
Yeah. Real quick, going back to Stroh's beer. By the way, yeah. Stroh's spelt backwards is shorts.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, I've had the Yuengling in Florida. I had it warm on a beach. So my experience with Yuengling isn't, I need to re-experience it. I'll just say that.
You do. You're missing out.
I have a friend who is from here, but now lives in from Minnesota, but now lives in South Carolina, swears by Yuengling, absolutely loves it. You know, of course,
it's a great beer.
Yeah. So
it's for an amber, it's a really light beer. It's something that if I go out and mow the lawn, that's what I want to drink when I'm done.
Oh yes.
Or if I'm sitting on a patio, it's great. It's just a light, refreshing beer.
Nice. Well, good. Anything else on Yuengling, Jim?
No, I have nothing else on Yuengling.
Well, good. Well, with my number five, I'm going all the way to the other side of the country. Even farther than the other side of the country, I'm going to Alaska.
Oh, okay.
And my number five is Alaskan Brewing Company. They're a regional brewery out of Juneau, Alaska, which is the capital of Alaska, founded in 1986, so a little newer than Yuengling. It was founded, like I said, 1986 by Marcy and Jeff Larson, who are still in charge of the company today. They are the 22nd largest craft brewery in the United States. You can get their beer in 18 states, Minnesota being one of them. Just name a few: Alaska, Ohio, where you are, North Dakota, South Dakota, Oregon, Texas. They don't really have just kind of whoever buys it. So they have 18 states around. Hopefully you can get it in one of your states where you're listening. The owners, while researching beers, Marcy, one of the owners, found the shipping records from a Douglas City Brewing Company, which existed from 1899 to 1907. In the papers, they found the ingredients for the beers that it made, along with a newspaper article that explained the whole brewing process. So they're like, oh, let's try it. Let's try to brew a beer. And so they brewed one of the beers, and they really enjoyed it. And they're like, let's just do this then for a living. And so then they made the Alaskan Brewing Company, and they started brewing their own beers. And the one that they tried was the Alaskan Amber, which is one of my favorite beers by them, and it's still their number one producer. And then they went from there on to make a bunch of different flavors of beer. It's the most award-winning craft brewery at the Great American Beer Festival. It brews about 8 year-round beers, 4 seasonal beers, and 2 limited edition beers. Their year-round beers, I mentioned, Alaskan Amber, Ice Bay IPA, which is one of my favorites, they brew a couple others, but the Imperial Red Ale, one of their seasonal beers is the Alaskan Winter Beer. Oh, and I love this beer. Alaskan Winter, if you can get it, go try it. Amazing. They have changed different beers throughout the years. They had a pale ale, like which a lot of breweries have, but they discontinued for lack of the specialty hops that they like to make it with. And they thought, if we can't get these hops to make this beer, we're not going to make a pale ale. It's because we know we can make one better, and if we can't get them, we're not going to do it. Which I think is kind of cool that they did that. So I have three favorites. I've mentioned the Alaskan Amber. It's an alt style ale. An alt style is meaning is a German word meaning old, which is not what you want to hear when you're drinking beer. But the old refers to the aging that they go undergo since they ferment more slowly at a colder temperature than most ales. So slow fermentation helps condition the flavors of the Askan Amber, contributing to its overall balance and smoothness. And obviously, one of the best things Alaska has going for it is what, Jim?
Moose.
Besides moose, is water, fresh water. So they, you know, they get from the glaciers and everything. Great water makes great beer. And so there you go. The other one is I like their white ale. Has a little polar bear on it, which I think is cool. White ale is really good. Has a more of a citrus orange peel flavor to it. We talked about this though. You can have fruit made in your beer. You can't put a piece of fruit in your beer.
I agree.
Okay. Just so you know, because a lot of these you're going to hear, oh, they, you know, oh, it's made with grapefruit or it's made with this. It's like, no, you can make things with fruit. You can't put a freaking orange slice in your beer.
I agree.
Okay. My favorite, though, of theirs is the winter ale. It's an old English, old style ale. It balances sweet. I got this from their website. This ale balances the sweet, heady aroma of spruce tips, lots of spruce trees up there, with clean, crisp finish of noble hops. Malty richness is complemented by the warming sensation of alcohol. It's if you're sitting around, you know, up here in Minnesota, we ice fish or something, you have one of these, and it's like, everything else is cream cheese. So. but yeah, I love Alaska, and I would like to, with all mine. You're gonna find that I found good food pairings with these.
Oh, and, nice touch, Thomas.
But with all
nice
the touch. With all the Alaskan ones, I recommend fish.
So, odd, yeah,
weird.
Makes sense.
They recommend fish. Big part of their industry up there. I think they might be just in bed with that. But yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen Alaskan brewery.
It's good, and you can get it in Ohio. I'm not sure where. If you go to these websites of theirs, speaking of that, I'm going to the websites. I got so tired of putting in my birthday just to go to a website.
Yeah. Most of them, I just go to the first date possible.
Yeah.
Like the first year. So it's usually like 1/1/1947.
Right.
Whatever the easiest one to click on is, because I also don't want to do the math to figure out how old you have to be 21 at this point.
Right, right. Well, no, we don't like math on this show, Jim. But Alaskan brewery is really good. Minnesota's had it for a while because I've been drinking these a lot. Since college, I think I've had Alaskan beer. Awesome beer. So, yeah, that's my number five. Not a whole lot on that one, but yeah, that's all I got.
That was a good one. I'll start looking for that one.
Please do. It's a good one. All right. So my number four, Jim, and
yes.
You're gonna enjoy this one. I'm enjoying one of these right now. Actually, can you hear?
Ooh, what a teaser.
Ooh, that's too loud. I'm sorry. I'm drinking out of a bottle. This is brewed out of Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, I think I know already what you're going to say.
Great Lakes Brewing Company.
Yes, sir.
Before you even were a twinkle in my eye, Jim, before you even thought about moving to Cleveland, because not many people think about moving to Cleveland. No offense, people
no.
who live in Cleveland.
No one moves to Cleveland.
No, and not on purpose. So they have great beer, Alaskan Brew, Great Lakes. Sorry, Alaskan. I've been drinking too much. Great Lakes Brewing has awesome beer. I'm right now enjoying one of their Burning River Pale Ale, which was one of my
yep.
favorites. Fantastic.
That's a tribute to the Cuyahoga River
yes.
that caught on fire.
We'll have to put here's one we can put on Instagram. The artwork on their bottle is the Cuyahoga River, famously mm-hmm. on fire, which Jim likes
yep.
to talk about a lot. So,
yep.
yeah.
Also, the
yes.
theme song to Major League
oh.
at the beginning
we're on
is,
Big
is
River.
About...
Burn
yeah, yeah.
On.
By Randy Newman is yes. about the Cuyahoga River catching on fire.
It is. And it's a great song, great movie, and we'll talk about that during
That's
our
all.
Baseball movies. It's coming up sometime. Or sports movies. We'll have to do a sports movies top five.
Oh, I dare you to pick one that doesn't have Kevin Costner in it.
I can tell you three of them right now that have him in it. okay, so, well, Jim, you probably know a lot of this already, but... the Cleveland Brewing Company is the first brew pub and microbrewery in the whole state of Ohio. has been named important to both Cleveland's local identity as well as the initial force behind the revival of the Ohio City neighborhood.
Yeah, it's definitely true.
Yeah. 21st largest craft brewery by volume and 28th largest overall brewery in the United States. You can get this, I believe, also in 18 states. Minnesota being one of them, which is awesome, so I can get it. There's a restaurant attached, and it's they both the brew pub and the restaurant both remain in the original location where the brewery was built. They have since expanded like their production stuff to other facilities, but they still have the same one. The present site allows visitors to, if you go, you can do tours, right, Jim? You've done a tour, correct?
I have not done a tour. I've been to the brewery. I've eaten at the brewery, but I've never done a tour.
Okay, well, when I come there, we're going on this tour.
Okay.
You can enjoy a glass of beer in the original brew pub. Features a Tiger Mahogany Bar. Ooh, rich mahogany. From the 1860s, a beer cellar, and the Rockefeller Room, named for Standard Oil founder and Clevelander John D. Rockefeller, who they think has worked in that exact building the brewery's in today. Gift shop, of course. You can buy some beer stuff, which I'll do. And the tours are on the weekend, so if you're there during the week, I don't think they're giving any tours. At least not according to this their website as of about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Yeah, they the big one with them though. They have taken a number of initiatives to promote sustainability, including recycling, which we talked about, Jim. We like recycling.
Big fans.
Yeah, include recycling promotional materials to create fuel for heating an outdoor structure. They use straw bale construction, incidentally the first straw bale structure in Cleveland. The composting of leftovers from the brewery's restaurant and the use of local inorganic food. The brewery also provides barley leftover from the brewing process to local farmers to use as feed, and to local bakers who use it to produce bread and pretzels. I love pretzels. I could use some pretzels with this beer right now, actually. In addition, the delivery trucks even are biodiesel and are fueled with leftover vegetable oil from the restaurant. The brewery also uses outside air during the winter months, because it's rather cold there in the winter, rather than the conventional refrigeration units, which those, of course, use a lot of electricity. So, and this is a huge, huge industry, a place of employment in Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken, right, Jim?
Yeah, it is.
They have about 6,000. The organization itself has got about 6,000 members. So, my favorite beers of theirs, I'm drinking one right now. We just talked about it. Burning River Pale Ale. It's crisp and bright, with refreshing flickers of citrus and pine that ignite the senses. Ooh, it does. And it's paired best with smoky red meats and cheese. And a reusable glass. I got that from their website. I thought that was funny. My favorite, though, of theirs is the Elliott Ness Amber Lager. I love that beer. It's almost, I love this, their description. Almost untouchably smooth, armed with lightly toasted malts and noble hops. For those kids out there who don't know who Elliott Ness is, he was the one that took down Al Capone. Al Capone later died of syphilis.
Yes.
Yes, that's always fun. Paired best with smoked meats, hearty breads, and a classy fedora. And you can enjoy your Elliott Ness. So I love Great Lakes Brewery. And seriously, no joke, I have always liked them. I even when you moved to Cleveland, I'm like, oh, that's where Great Lakes Brewery is. You know, like,
yeah.
I think they're awesome beer. So there you go. That's my number four.
Couple interesting fun facts. At the bar in the brewery, there's little red flags behind the bar on the wall, and they put them in bullet holes, and they were bullet holes shot by Elliott Ness during a shootout.
Really?
Yeah, and he's Elliott Ness and J.D. Rockefeller are both buried in the same cemetery in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's actually good. That's a good trivia, because Elliot Ness, everyone thinks of Chicago, Al Capone and stuff, but he finished his police work career in Cleveland.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why they actually go on their website. They have a cool story about him and stuff. And if you actually look up Elliot Ness, had a kind of a sad end to his life. But hey, he's the guy who got Al Capone, and that's what most people like to talk about. And the movie Untouchables is fantastic.
Yeah. And the only beer, I like the Elliot Ness beer, but the other beer is their Christmas ale. That's like their claim to fame.
And that's one I can't get here. That's one that they haven't reached Minnesota with their Christmas. At least I've never seen it. I bought a sampler pack the other day, which had the porter and the pale ale and of course the amber ale, and then there's one other one that I haven't tried yet and I can't remember the name of it. But
let me know, because I'll send you a case in September when they start putting it out.
Please do, please do. Can you send beer? Can you mail beer? I should know if you can. I know you can't mail it.
You should. You
yeah.
Should.
Actually, never mind. What's that? I'm gonna get in trouble. Anyway. So yeah, there you go. Great Lakes Brewery. If you haven't tried it, seriously, go out. And it's pretty readily available in the Minnesota, Wisconsin area. Obviously, Ohio. So I'll try it. Elliot Ness Amber. You'll love it. So, Jim.
All right. Yes, sir.
Your turn.
Okay. My number four.
Yeah.
It's interesting because a lot of the beers that they make, I actually always mistake Line and Cool for making, okay, which I'm sure is on your list.
Well, we'll see.
So bear with me on this one, because okay, it's going to sound like an odd choice. I went with Blue Moon.
Now, Jim.
Now, yes.
What do people mostly do with their Blue Moons?
Well, I don't put fruit in my Blue Moon. Okay. I don't put orange in it. I like the beer as a standalone beer, but I also didn't choose it for their main wheat beer.
Right, which most people are familiar with.
Yeah, yeah. And I like that beer a lot, and I'll drink it. I just don't put fruit in it. But because that goes against everything we've been preaching for the last two episodes.
Right.
But are you okay? Did you just throw something?
No, I just put down... Wait, hold on, Jim.
Yep.
Just grab, nice. Grab another beer.
What was that? What are you?
I can't tell you because it's coming up on my list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't yell at me.
All right.
I chose it for the other beers that they have, and these are always ones that I mistake Leinenkugel for making. Like they make a spiced amber, they make an agave nectar, they make a gingerbread, they make a horchata ale,
okay,
which if Sunset Wheat is the alcoholic equivalent of Fruity Pebbles, then horchata ale is the equivalent of Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Right.
They make a chai spiced ale, a cappuccino oatmeal stout. These are all, and their pumpkin and their summer honey wheat. These are all beers that I love.
Uh-huh.
And I buy those, but I always get them mixed up with all the offshoots of Leinenkugel because they do a lot of beers kind of like that too.
Correct.
So that's why I went with Blue Moon, not necessarily for their wheat beer, which I do actually really like. But more for what you can get in their summer sampler and fall sampler packs. I love that stuff. They're chai spiced and pumpkin ale and all that stuff. That's like right up my alley. So, but what I found out really interesting stuff on Blue Moon, and it really kind of annoyed me. Blue Moon, and you probably know this, is owned by Coors.
Correct.
So my computer's frozen. Okay. But what's interesting about that is that they still try to market and brand themselves as a microbrew when they never were a microbrew. So if you go on their website, which is we talked about going to breweries' websites and how they have like their entire history on there. Well, Blue Moon's is mostly bullshit because they're saying they talk about them starting out as a small pub called the Sandlot Brewery in all they said is in a baseball diamond. Hmm. Well, yeah, it was Coors Field for the Rockies.
Oh.
So of course they're Coors Light brand. The original brewery was behind the right field wall, I think, and it was called Sandlot Brewery, and that's how the beer started. So in 1994, Pete Coors had the idea. He saw breweries like Sam Adams, these smaller breweries, making a lot of different flavors and getting really popular, and it was starting to hurt Coors and Anheuser-Busch and all those main companies. So he's like, well, let's just do our own, but not really say that we're doing our own. So they started the Sandlot Brewery in Coors Field right before the baseball season in 1984. And he had an employee named Keith Villa who had just come back from Brussels, and he earned a PhD in brewing science, and he put him in charge of creating a 10-barrel brew house behind the right field wall. So their main beer was called the Belly Slide Beer, and that ended up becoming the main Blue Moon wheat beer that we all know. And they just did it there and experimented on these beers with people at the baseball stadium to see how they reacted to it. But that's all left out of the main page. Like, I actually had to do a lot of research to even find any of this information, because you can't find anywhere. They really hide the fact that they're tied in with Coors. They really want them to be portrayed as their own microbrew, which they never were. They were always owned by Coors. So that's really kind of annoying. Even on their website, there's a quote on there that says that when they decided to expand outside of the baseball stadium, which they never call Coors Field, they needed to change their name and not name all their beers after baseball things to appeal to the mass audience. And one of their head executives said that you'll be hard pressed to find a beer that tastes this good comes around once in a blue moon. And they're like, oh, we should call it that. Well, that's complete crap. That never happened.
Jim,
it's just so frustrating to read the description on the website and how they portray themselves as a small town microbrew when that's total crap.
I just want to point out, you have like a serious love-hate relationship with this brewing company.
No, well, it was just kind of eye-opening. Like, I love the offshoots and all the flavors that they have, and I think they're really good beer. I like all that stuff. I like breweries that do more experimental things, and a lot of the ones left on my list are ones that experiment with a lot of different flavors, like the chai spice and things like that. I like breweries that do stuff like that, so I really like their beer. But it was just kind of odd that Coors would market and brand it. I get why they're doing it, but it's deceiving, I guess.
Okay, all right.
It was very eye-opening, sir.
I understand. Well, what is everyone knows, like, I've only had the wheat beer. And, like, you go out to a bar or restaurant here, you say, give me a Blue Moon, and there's no, like, which kind. Everyone just, you get the same one.
Oh, no, that's like, yeah, that's it, yeah.
So, like, I didn't, you know, this is eye-opening to me, because I didn't know that they have other brands, other flavors. And so, what are some of the ones you like?
I love the horchata ale.
Okay.
It's great. I love seasonal beers.
Right.
So in the fall, I'll get their fall sampler pack that comes with the chai spice latte and the gingerbread. Their agave nectar is really good. That's more of like a summery beer. I love the spiced amber and the pumpkin in the fall. Their summer honey wheat's great in the summer. Their oatmeal stout would be great right now because there's a snowstorm outside.
Oh yeah, that snowstorm was just here yesterday, by the way.
You would hate it because it's cappuccino oatmeal stout and you don't like coffee flavored things.
No.
I pay attention when you talk. I care.
I don't know how to take that. But yeah, no, I don't. I don't like coffee flavored beers, but I don't like coffee flavored anything. That's just me. But I know, especially
a lot of this stuff you can only go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say a lot of these craft brewers you talk about, almost all of them have a coffee, like a dark stout, yeah, or something, you know. And I'm just not into that as much.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of a popular craft brew stout.
Right.
A lot of these beers are only in sampler packs, mm-hmm, but you can get like the horchata ale. You can get a 6-pack of that. So I would recommend trying their offshoots, their different flavors, because they're actually really good.
I would love to, and I wonder if we can get them here. I'm not sure, but I'm sure we can. But I feel like my beard isn't thick enough and long enough to be a fan of stouts.
But you drink a lot of IPAs, and that's also
I agree. You're right. There's a great YouTube clip, and of course I'm gonna forget how to explain it, but it's a joke, it's a funny clip where the hipster ordering IPAs or hipster ordering craft beer. If you just type that in on YouTube, it's absolutely hilarious, and they give them all these different beers, and it's that guy you always see at the bar or restaurant who knows everything about the beer. And talks about what we're talking about right now, You know, like, well, they use this kind of wheat and this kind of, but it's a funny clip. Check it out. And they even give him one with like sawdust in it, and he's like trying to chew it and stuff. It's funny. But anyway, well, cool. Well, what else you got on Blue Moon, Jim?
No, that's it. That's all I got on Blue Moon. Yeah. I just thought it was the marketing and branding. I thought was really interesting, and
yeah,
I liked a lot of their flavors.
Yeah, my wife loves Blue Moon. She really likes Blue Moon a lot. And yes, she is one who will put the orange slice in it. And I know that's popular. A lot of people do that. I don't want that. Yeah. I don't want that. But people like it, and that's fine. And they, I mean, even when you order one, if you order one, they bring you an orange slice. They don't even ask if you want one. So, yeah. Cool.
Hold on just a second.
All right.
Here we go.
Nice. Should we cheers? Are we able to cheers over the air?
Yeah, I think we can, right?
All right. Well, here's you, Jim.
Here, hold on.
Okay.
Ready? Ready for it?
Yeah.
There we go.
Thanks.
Okay. Good deal.
Oh, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. All right. That was your number four? No. Yeah.
That was my number four, yeah.
Right. So we're on number three. Number three.
Yes.
So,
you want me to go for my number three?
Yes, I do.
Okay, my number three is a Chicago brewery.
Ooh.
Distributed in 48 states in the country.
Oh, that's almost all of them.
That is all. Carry the six. Uh-huh. That is almost all of them.
Perfect.
Goose Island.
Oh, I love Goose Island. We talked last night about this.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I love Goose Island.
Good beer.
Yeah, I found it by John Hall in 1988. Like so many people who start breweries, he went to Europe and became fascinated with beer because their beer is much, much better.
Right.
Came back, wanted to start a brewery, started a small brew pub in Lincoln Park neighborhood in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he named the beer after a nearby island. He opened a larger brewery in 1995 and a second brew pub in Wrigleyville in 1999. It's since been closed. Because they were bought out by Anheuser-Busch in 2011 for $38.8 million. And you'll see this as a common trend. I remember when the brew pubs and microbrews and stuff started becoming popular, the main companies, Miller and Anheuser and Coors, started to market themselves as your small local hometown. Right. We still brew in your town. We're cool. And then when that didn't work, they ditched that and they were like, the opposite, and then they started really hammering home how huge they were, and that didn't work. So then they just started to buy all the brew pubs,
and then they let them continue doing what the brew pubs would do. Yeah, they let them.
Yeah, except they money off of it. Yeah,
right.
And I read something about there were three: is it Red Hook, Widmer, and Kona started a like a craft brew alliance, and they got bought. Partially by, I want to say Anheuser, but I could be wrong. It was one of the major companies, but they only allowed them to own 37% of the company.
Well, good for them.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. So Goose Island is now owned by Anheuser-Busch. But I love one of their main beers is their 312 Urban Wheat. That's a real popular one.
Yeah.
Their Green Line IPA is really popular. Their main beers are great, but I love their limited releases. I pretty much exclusively buy them.
Nice.
Their summertime Kolsch is fantastic.
Ooh, I love a Kolsch beer.
Their Oktoberfest is one of my favorites. I love Kolsch too. Their winter ale is really good, but their festivity ale is one of my favorite Christmas beers. I couldn't find it this year, but that one's fantastic. They have a whole line of like single beers, like kind of like a Chimay. They're in the huge, bigger glass bottles.
Oh, yeah.
They have one called Père Jacques that's phenomenal. They're really dark, heavy beers. And I didn't know this until this year, actually. My friend Chris was telling me about it. They actually pioneered the bourbon barrel beer. They started that. I didn't realize that.
Oh,
but
wow.
They have one called Bourbon County Stout. And there's a huge following for this beer because it's only released on Black Friday every year. Oh. And people will actually find the Goose Island delivery truck and follow it to the store because you can't put a hold on it. You have to be like camped out like you would at Best Buy to get this beer.
Okay, that's a Black Friday thing I can get behind, okay?
Yes, yes.
Like, I'm not going to go in the Target parking lot for 3 days for a television. I will wait for beer, though.
Yes, and my friend Chris swears by it. He says it's the best bourbon stout of any company that he's ever had.
Do you have anything on that? What makes it so good?
Since they pioneered it, they're kind of like the best at it, or so sure. they say. But they only take they take bourbon barrels that had like a sweeter bourbon, and they have been aged for 8 years. They won't take any other barrels that have been aged for less, which I think a lot of barrels do much less.
Sure.
So that's like their standard. So I didn't read anything on what particular bourbon companies they buy from. So I don't know if there is a particular one or if they get from a few different distilleries, but apparently it's the best you can get if you can find it. And I was looking for it this year, but they don't import that particular beer into Ohio for Black Friday.
Well, I like Goose Island a lot. I very familiar with 312. I've had their IPA, which I really like. I didn't put them on my list because I think I've only had the IPA like once or twice, and 312 we get a lot. My wife got to go to Chicago with some friends a couple of years back, and they drank Goose Island like the whole time. They said it was just the best. So
it is, but I do really like 312, and I'll buy that in the summer. But I put them on my list mostly for their seasonals and limited releases because right. I'll buy those almost exclusively when they come out.
Yeah, the seasonal beers you find, I find that that's what I just cannot wait for some of these breweries. Like,
yeah,
I cannot wait till the Oktoberfest comes out. And some of them, like I mentioned, some of the local ones here. My next door neighbor works for another local one called Lake Spirit Brewery. It's a very small brewery here in town, but it's actually one of the oldest ones. As when the craft beer brew scene, like early '90s or late '80s, it started on here in town. Their Oktoberfest is extremely good. I love it. I couldn't even get it this year, and he's my next door neighbor. I asked him, "Hey, can you I'll pay you. Can you steal a sixer for me?" You know, do something. And he's like, "Well, we only made so many barrels, it's gone." And that was in August.
Wow.
It was, they come out, and 2 weeks later, it's gone. And it's like, and they don't make anymore. You know, some of these, this is what we're going to make, and this is all, and they don't come out with anymore. And so, like, this year, I might have to camp outside of there this year in August just to get some of that. But, yeah. Oh, well, good, Jim. I like Goose Island. I always thought Goose Island would be, because I love the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and
yeah.
I feel like Goose Island Brewery would be what Ferris Bueller did with his life after high school. he created it, you know, because he loves Chicago, loves his hometown, and that's just a feel good story. I like to think that's true.
Abe Froman.
Oh, Sausage King.
Sausage King of Chicago.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, my number three, Jimbo, is out of California.
Mm-hmm.
Say what you want by Californians, but some of them make really good beer. Founded in 1979 is Sierra Nevada Brewing Company.
Okay.
I love Sierra Nevada beer. Founded by Ken Grossman. He had a home brewery. He was home brewing, I should say. It's like as a hobby in Chico, California. And then, he thought, well, really like doing this. So he scraped up $50,000 in loans from family and friends. And he rented out a warehouse with his friend, Paul, Camusi. I'm sure I'm saying that word wrong. And they pieced together discarded dairy equipment, scrapyard metal, and other various nuts and bolts to create their own brewing equipment. They were later able to acquire secondhand copper brewing kettles from Germany before moving to their larger current brewing facility in 1989. But so they basically, it was all recycled material, and they brewed their first batch on the premises of that warehouse in November 1980, and that was their pale ale, which I love, Sierra Nevada pale ale. The following year, they introduced their IPA called Celebration, which is what I am enjoying right now. And it's their winter seasonal beer. And actually, I was so surprised the other day, I f- found it at my local liquor store. I'm like, no way, they still had a, so they still had a case of it, which I bought. And it's an amazing winter beer. I love the winter beers.
They're winter beers and IPA?
Yeah.
Fresh. That's interesting.
Fresh hop IPA. It's called Celebration. And so that was actually their second beer they ever brewed, and it's they still only release it as a seasonal. They don't have it all year round. Anyway, so the first year they only sold 950 barrels of beer, but they doubled that by the second year. That this was in 1981, and then by 1987, they were already distributing to 7 states, and they reached 12,000 barrels per year, which then they all grew their brewery, had to find a new place. Which they did, and now they're one of the top, I believe you can get Sierra Nevada in all 50 states. One of the top breweries in the country, and let's see here. In 2012, they decided we're going to build a second brewing facility on the other side of the country in Mills River, North Carolina. And that already opened in 2014. So now they can get, you know, so now they're able to, they do these, they do that type of thing so they can, obviously, for cost measures, you know, so they don't have to ship everything to the East Coast. They have already one out there. So, but they also don't brew every beer that they normally brew at that facility. So there you go. My favorite beer there is, like I said, is their flagship beer, Pale Ale. And then my second favorite is, or my favorite beer is their Celebration. And then the second one's Pale Ale. And my third one is their IPA, which I love in IPAs. It's called Torpedo, and oh, it's amazing. And yeah, but they also do an Oktoberfest, which is hard to come by, but when you do, it's a really good one. I suggest getting that. They have a summer pilsner, also very good, and a beer camp hoppy lager, which is interesting. It's like it's hoppy like an IPA, but it's more like a smoother, you know, it doesn't taste as hoppy. So yeah, here we go. Best paired, their pale ale is paired with grilled steak, citrus salad, ooh, Thai curry, and smiles. And their Torpedo Extra IPA is best paired with lamb, duck, southwestern cuisine, and aged cheddar. And if you have enough of them, it does not matter how old the cheese is. So, and then the Celebration, of course, is their holiday beer. I like how they say, well, it's best with roasted turkey and dressing, which is implying that, hey, you're with your family, just drink a lot because you don't want to be there anyway. So
true.
Yeah. But no, the name Sierra Nevada comes from the mountains, of course, the Sierra Nevada mountains. The founder, Ken Grossman, he named it because he loved to go hiking there, and of course they can see, you can see them from Chico, California, where the company is, and so that's where that name comes from. And yeah, that's about it. Of course they have a restaurant, like a lot of these places. They end up with a, you know, you can tour it, and then they have a restaurant and all this stuff. And then they have this thing called, they open called The Big Room, which is a live music venue, and they actually have big music concerts out there, which a lot of famous musicians have played. So there you go. That's what I got.
I got to be honest. I think I had their IPA a few years back.
The Hop Hunter or like, the Torpedo?
I really don't. No, I'm going to say it was the Torpedo. And okay. And this was years ago before I really liked IPAs.
Yeah.
So I had that, and I think because I didn't like them at the time, I don't think I ever had another Sierra Nevada. I think that was the only one I ever had.
Well, that's okay. You don't have to like them.
Well, I will definitely give it another try. I've come around to the IPAs over the last couple of years. Yeah. So
if you do,
I'd like to give them another go.
Like, I love winter beer in winter lagers and in seasonal winter stuff. I mean, give the Celebration a try. It's an awesome beer. I mean, it's fantastic. Okay. So.
And you said that's their seasonal right now?
That's their seasonal. And for some reason, I found it still, which is weird, because usually by January, you can't find them anymore. But they have it out there, and I'm enjoying one of them. Probably you can tell by my slurring of the words.
I'll try to find that one.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's good. They have one called Hop Hunter IPA also. If you like the IPAs, it's a newer IPA they have. actually amazing, pretty good. I had that the other day. We had some friends over, and I enjoyed a few of those. So, yeah. So there you go. That's my number three, Jim.
Okay.
All right. We're on number twos now, right?
Number two, yeah.
All right. Well, my number two, pretty famous beer. I think people know this by one brand of beer. And this is my number two is New Belgium. New Belgium beer, which makes Fat Tire beer.
Fat Tire.
Yeah. Their amber ale, and that is awesome. It's my wife's favorite beer. It's one of my favorite beers. But actually, my favorite one that they make, and it's actually my favorite beer, any beer, is their winter lager. I like the winter lagers. It's called Accumulation.
Oh, yeah, I know it well.
It's a white IPA, and oh, sweet Jesus, it's so good. it's so good. Our buddy Paul, you know Paul, you've met him. Loves it also, and we'll just talk to each other. Like, I remember, was it like October, November, he called me, he's like, hey, did you get Accumulation yet? Like, he would call me and ask, like, yeah, I got it, you know, like, and it's amazing. It's the best, it's one of the best beers I ever had. It's my favorite beer. Seriously, if you like Fat Tire, which most people do, it seems like most people like Fat Tire, try Accumulation. Yeah. It's awesome. But a little background on New Belgium Brewing Company. It's out of Fort Collins, Colorado. Colorado is known for their beer. Lots of good breweries out of there, including Coors. They produce now nearly 1 million barrels of beer per year. It's a lot of beer. Like I said, Fat Tire is their flagship. They're the fourth largest craft brewery in the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. The Fat Tire recipe originates from co-founders' bicycle trip through Belgium. And if you looked at a Fat Tire, obviously Fat Tire is referenced to a bike, but then there's really cool artwork on the labels. He would go from brewery to brewery on his bike. And so the company promotes its Fat Tire ale locally by the public placement of colorful vintage bicycles around its brewery and around the town. And they actually changed their logo itself. New Belgium, because everyone would say, I want a Fat Tire. No one, for a while, up until about 2006, no one knew who made Fat Tire beer. You wouldn't know, oh, it's made by New Belgium, unless you really looked at the thing, just, I want a Fat Tire. They actually changed their logo to make people realize who actually makes Fat Tire beer. Because they're like, we're marketing only one beer. We have all these other flavors. Nobody recognizes them because they don't know who we are. You know, and so, it was voted by one of the best canned beers, which is weird. It was voted, this was an Esquire article, but they voted Fat Tire Amber is one of the best canned beers, and I've never had it in a can.
I've never seen it
in a can. They have 13 year-round beers, which is different for most breweries we've been talking about. They'll have like 8, you know, this one, they have 13. Fat Tire, we talked about Ranger IPA, is another big one. Slow Ride is their session beer.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Slow Ride's really good.
Yeah, their Shift Pale Lager, another great one. Of course, their 1554 Black Lager, people love that one. It's a Belgian dark beer. It's good, but that's, again, it's more of a darker beer. And of course, their seasonal beers, they have a summer seasonal, and then of accumulations, their winter seasonal. They also do an Oktoberfest. Let's see here.
I like their pump.
Their what?
Pump kick. Their pumpkin ale. Pump kick.
Oh, yeah,
the
pumpkin
ale.
Yep. Their pumpkin ale is
really
good.
I like their Citradelic. Their Tangerine IPA is really good. And I love Belgian beers, the triple beers, and they make a really good triple.
Yeah, I was just going to the triple one on here, they have an Abbey Belgian ale, too, that's a double beer.
That's really good.
As of 2002... Or before 2002, New Belgium only distributed in 16 states. By 2015, it's since become the fourth largest brewery, which I mentioned. And also in 2015, they branched out and they're distributed in Sweden. So not they're outside of the United States now. And now up until October of this year, They are available in 45 states, including, for some reason it makes point, including New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. So it must be hard to distribute beer there or something, because they made a point to say those three.
Probably not Oklahoma yet.
Probably not. You know what? No, wait. They might be, because that's where my wife fell in love with it, I think.
Because you couldn't, when we lived there, you couldn't get Fat Tire in Oklahoma.
Maybe, okay. Yeah, you might be right.
Because for people who don't know, Oklahoma's alcohol laws really suck. Their beer laws suck.
Oh,
and you can, for a domestic beer, it has to be a 3.2 lowered alcohol content.
Which
so
is
you can buy.
Yeah.
Just, you can get real beer. You can get like a real Sam Adams, but you have to go to a liquor store and buy it warm. You can't buy cold beer if it's real. Cold beer, it's fake beer. So they wouldn't ship Fat Tire into the state because they ship it cold,
right,
and they make you sell it cold, so they just wouldn't do it. And even now, if you look on a bottle of beer, if you're holding one right now, by like the recycle label or whatever, where all the states are, you'll see an OK plus or an OK minus, and if it's OK plus, then it's real. If it's OK minus, it's 3.2.
Yeah, which I never understood that until we moved to Oklahoma, and someone had to explain to me what the plus and the minus meant.
Yeah, because we were at a bar, and you drink like 9 pitchers, and you just pee a lot.
You get drunk because
you're not drinking beer.
You pee a lot, and then you're like 20 pounds heavier. Like, well, just drinking fat water is what you're just drinking. So, anyway, so like I mentioned, New Belgium's main brewery is in Fort Collins, Colorado. They have since opened another brewery also in North Carolina, just like Sierra Nevada, which is kind of weird. And they opened up in Asheville, which is kind of near where Sierra Nevada opened their second brewery. So it's kind of interesting that they moved to the pretty same place that the other, so it must be distribution wise, but so that's kind of cool that they opened up a second spot so you can get more beer. That's probably when they opened that, that's probably why they got into the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, those areas, with their beer. So, another brewery, like I mentioned, is very big on sustainability. Their goal is to offset 100% of its electricity through the city's wind power program. Rather than direct using wind-generated power, the brewery elects to pay an increased rate for their electricity energy, which is supplied by the city of Fort Collins Utilities, to ensure it comes from the cleanest source possible. About 15% of the brewery's power comes from methane gas created as a byproduct of their on-site water treatment plant. An additional 3% comes from a 300-kilowatt solar array on the brewery's packaging hall in Fort Collins. So they don't use conventional electricity, which is, I think, is awesome. You know, they're really getting ahead of the curve, and their beer does not suffer because of it. So, and so they, of course, now they're, you know, Fort Collins like has them speak at all these sustainability programs, and actually they go around the country speaking about sustainability, so that's good. They only employ about 485 employees, so they're not huge, but they're employee owned, which is cool. So they really take pride. They have a 3% turnover rate in their employees. Like, nobody leaves.
Those are just people who died.
Yeah, they're exactly. I think that's exactly what it is. People who died or retired. They obviously own stock in the company or own the company, so they get, you know, all the benefits, and it's just that people don't leave there, which I think is great. I think to be able to work for a company that you really want to work for, you know, and I think it's pretty great. So, they give every one of their people who buy into the company, as an employee, you don't have to buy in, but like all the people who do, they own 100%. So if more people buy in, everyone owns an equal share, but they give, every year, an actual cool, like free ride bike to every owner every year. So they get a brand new bike. Obviously a cruiser bicycle they're called, and, which is the company symbol. And obviously they're promoting good health and sustainability with that, but yeah, I love their beer. Their Whiz Bang Hoppy Ale is another one I tried the other day. Actually, the first time I tried it, it was awesome. I suggest that one. Their Ranger IPA and Accumulation and Fat Tire are my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so good stuff. Good stuff, Jim.
Nice. That's a good pick, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was my number six. That was my honorable mention.
Well, there you go. There you go. Well, what would be your number two?
My number two is a Delaware brewing company. It is Dogfish Head.
Okay. We talked about this one a little bit last night.
Yeah, I really, really love Dogfish Head. They distribute to 32 states, based in Milton, Delaware. Owned Delaware. Look at me. I'm in Delaware.
Delaware.
They're owned by, I'm going to butcher his last name, Sam Calagione, I'm going to say.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Sure. It opened in 1995. They produce 175,000 barrels annually. They grew nearly 400% between 2003 and 2006.
And wait, 400%?
400% in 3 years.
Good Lord.
And they take its name from Dogfish Head, Maine, where the owner spent his childhood summers.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. And also kind of weird, his father, the owner's father, I don't know if he still does, but he owned a television station in Lower Delaware. And one of my friends worked for the station that he owned.
Oh, cool.
The Delmarva Market is what they call that area. It's southern Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia, like Ocean City, Maryland.
What kind of news happens in Delaware, you think?
You know, like when the little baby turtles are born and mm-hmm. they have to get to the ocean before the birds get them?
Mm-hmm.
That.
Mm, that's a hard-hitting piece.
I know, man. Tearjerker.
Yep.
I have a lot of friends who worked in that area, actually. It's a nice area.
I bet.
But I spent a lot of time in southern Delaware. Okay. So I drink a lot of Dogfish Head, and I didn't start drinking it until I went out there. This is what I love about this brewery, is that they're known for really extreme experimental beers, really out-of-the-box stuff. They made one called the Verde Verde Good, produced in 05, only on draft. It's called Verde, not because it's colored green. The green color was derived from actual blue-green algae that they brewed it with.
Oh, I thought you were going somewhere else with that. I thought you were going to say it's from marijuana or something.
No, didn't go there.
Okay.
There's algae. One called algae.
Hmm, okay.
There's one called the Liquor de Malt. It's a malt liquor beer that actually comes in a Dogfish Head brown paper bag.
Okay.
There's one called American Beauty. It's a Grateful Dead inspired beer brewed with granola.
Hmm.
This one I found really interesting. Pangea was released in 2003. It's a Belgian style strong pale ale made with ingredients from every continent on Earth. Crystallized ginger from Australia, water from Antarctica, rice from Asia, sugar from Africa, quinoa from South America, European yeast, and North American maize or corn.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I thought that was such a cool idea. So they do like really like out of the box brewing. I texted you a picture of it. I bought their breakfast stout, which is one of their newest releases, and it's made with actual pork scrapple. The grease and the pork is thrown into the brewing process.
Wait,
it's
say
really,
that,
really good.
Say that again. It's made with what?
Pork scrapple.
Okay, which is the leftovers.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, nice. I bet that's awesome.
Dude, it's so good. It's so good. They just, a lot of their stuff is just really different styles of brewing, and they have a ton of beers, and that's why I like them. They're just always like, I don't want to just go to a brewery and get like their amber and their wheat. I want something crazy and out of the box. And that's what this brewery does. My favorite ones, they do a 60 minute IPA. They do a 90 minute IPA. Their wheat beer is called Namaste. And that is fantastic. Ooh. They do a Namaste white. Those are probably my favorite ones, but no matter what they come out with, if I see it at the store, I'll buy it no matter what it is. And it's always fantastic.
Nice. Now you can't get this everywhere.
You can't get it everywhere. You can get it in 32 states, though, so quite a bit.
Oh, 32 states. Okay, all right.
Yeah, yeah. Dogfish Head's in 32. So what you'll probably find is the 60-minute IPA, yeah, maybe the 90. The 90 is sold in a four-pack.
Okay.
And the Namaste is pretty distributed. All the other ones, they're harder to find ones. They don't distribute out as much. They're smaller batch stuff. I did find the Breakfast Out here in Ohio, so you'd probably be able to find that one. Okay. I was kind of surprised to find it, but definitely the 60-minute and the Namaste you'll be able to find.
All right. Well, I'm excited about trying that one. I've seen Dogfish. I've never tried it, any of them, so I got to get on that.
I wanted to go up to the brewery the last time we were in Delaware, but it was like an hour and a half from where we were staying, so we didn't make it up there. But love that beer. If I see it, no matter what kind it is, that's what I get.
All right. Well, good. Well, Jim, before we get to our number ones here,
yes,
you mentioned you had to leave. You left a couple off. Which ones did you leave off here?
I mentioned New Belgium. The other one that I left off that actually made the cut, because I had to windle quite a bit down, was Breckenridge Brewery out of Colorado.
Okay.
Love Breckenridge. It's my wife's favorite beer. We get the Christmas ale keg every year. Nice. I actually have in my fridge right now I'm not opening it until St. Patrick's Day, but I have the Dry Irish Stout Nitro beer.
Ooh, nitro beer.
They make really good nitros. They make a vanilla stout that's a nitro that's fantastic. Really good beers.
Nice. Yeah, I had to leave a couple off. I left Goose Island off. The one that's local to Minnesota, and I believe you can get into like 18, 19 other states, is Summit Brewing Company. They're made out of St. Paul. Oh, I absolutely love them. It was hard for me to leave this one off just because it's close to home, you know. But and the reason I bring this up, real quick, I left a couple others off. Odell and Bell's, also good beers. So going back to Summit, my wife and I, we went to this place where you get, you know, they have like tons of beers from all over the country. You know, like those type, like an old Chicago, but it was like more of a local place, you know.
Oh, I love that place.
Yeah. And so this place here in town is called Seven West Tap House. And basically it's called Seven West because that's the address. But anyway, you get good burgers, but they have beers from all over. And then, of course, they have Summit because everywhere up here has Summit. And we were there, and my wife and I now, you know, we're in our 30s. We do not partake in the college drinking scene, okay? And so, like, we're there, and it was getting late. We didn't have this kid. It was like our date night, but it was like 10 o'clock, maybe 11. And so this group of, I'll call them kids, you know, they're 20s, you know, they're college kids. They're Duluth is a big college town. They're college. They come in, and this one girl is extremely drunk. Okay. And she's really loud. Fine. Whatever. I mean, that's what happens. We're getting ready to leave, but we're sitting at the bar. She butts up to us and she's screaming at the bartender, "I just want an EPA. I just want an EPA." And now, for those of you who don't know, Summit, one of their famous beers is called an extra pale ale. And so we all call it, "Hey, give me an EPA. Give me an EPA." And so now every time my wife and I go out, we just joke. And we'll sit down and be obnoxious, like, "Give me an EPA. Give me an EPA." And this girl's voice was the sound of like a fat kid trying to play the trumpet. It was really, it was really disturbing. So I didn't leave them off.
I like the stairs.
Yeah, right. It was. I didn't leave them off because of that story. But every time I drink an extra pale ale, I think of that story, and that just that girl. Oh God, God bless her soul. If she listens, hopefully you've grown up a little bit. But if not, oh well. But anyway, so that's a fantastic beer, and I think you can get that where you are in Ohio. But that's an awesome beer. So Shiner was another one. Shiner Tech from Shiner, Texas.
Ooh, good call on Shiner.
Yeah. I bought their sampler pack the other day. You can get Shiner here in Minnesota. And, oh, man, they're good beers.
Shiner's really good. Yeah, I forgot about them.
Yeah, very good. Very good. So anyway, yeah, so those are my couple of my honorable mentions. But let's get on to our number one, Jim. Do you want me to go or do you want to go?
I don't care.
All right, I'll go.
You go.
All right. My number one, and you mentioned a little bit prior, is Leinenkugel's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love Line and Kugels. It's a Jacob Line and Kugel Brewing Company. It's out of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. So our friends in Wisconsin, you're going to be very excited about this one. You can now get it in all 50 states. So please go out and try some. You can't get every flavor in all 50 states, but I guarantee you, you can get Honey Vice, and their Honey Vice is the most amazing beer. And it's perfect beer in the summer. So get out there and grab it. It's actually Chippewa Falls, the town it's in. It's the oldest running business that Chippewa Falls has. It was started in 1867 by Jacob Matthias Leinenkugel. Love the name Matthias.
That's a strong name.
Yeah, it was founded by him and another guy named John Miller. Miller sold his stake in the company in 1884. Bad move.
What did he go on to do?
I don't know if he's actually part of that Miller group. Oh. It actually didn't say, but I think it was a bad move to sell this because it obviously was a very good business. So during Prohibition, you mentioned a little bit of Prohibition, a lot of these beers, these companies, especially Miller, Anheuser-Busch, Yingling, like you mentioned, they all had to do something during Prohibition. So they produced near beer, like you mentioned, as they called it Leno. It was soda water, pretty much. And so that's how they weathered the storm with Prohibition. In 1970, they decided to expand their roots, and that's when they really got crazy with their beers and started making all these incredible beers. And let's see here. Honey Vice, like I mentioned. A lot of people are like, whoa, what's that? What is that? And like, if you have it, it's amazing. But really what it is it's got Wisconsin honey. And it's brewed with Wisconsin honey, and it's a traditional American Weiss beer. I'm not saying rice, I'm saying Weiss, like German Weiss beer. It's brewed with a German style. It's usually garnished with a lemon. Not for me, I don't do that. But because it wants the added citrus aroma, but no. You just drink it cold, it's amazing. Pairs best with Mexican dishes. Like nachos. Oh. You can go ahead and have other things, but I'm eating nachos and having a Honey Vice.
You pick like the most American Mexican dish you could possibly have.
Yeah, like nachos.
Like chips and salsa.
They say beef burritos on here too, which is also the most American Mexican food you can have. Hey, this is from their website. Okay, this is what they suggest to pair this with. I drink it with everything. So they actually have two breweries. They have the one in Chippewa Falls, which if you come here and visit, we're going to make the drive to Chippewa Falls. Awesome brewery tour. Absolutely amazing. I got to do it with a bunch of high school buddies of mine got together a couple years ago, went down and did the tour. So much fun. So cool to see this little small town is run basically off this brewery. It's really cool. But they actually bought a second brewery, the 10th Street Brewery in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. At the time, it was owned by the Heilman Brewing Company, which actually is Blatt's, if you've heard of Blatt's beer. But Line and Kugel bought it in 1995, and that's where they make the Big Eddie ales. If you've ever, I don't know if you're familiar with their Big Eddie line. But that's where they make theirs, and those are high alcohol beers, like you mentioned Chimay earlier, and that type of beer. My favorite beer, which I am going to not my favorite, my honey base, my favorite. My second one is right now. I just opened it. Is called Canoe Paddler.
I love that beer.
Only available March through July, so get out now. But it's a Kolsch style beer, brewed with a touch of rye and a slightly spicy flavor and clean, dry finish. It's a take on a German classic that's perfect for winding down and relaxing, which I'm doing right now.
I could not find that beer here last year.
I know. You texted me and you're like, what is going on? And I even went on the website and found the stores that's near you that it's supposed to be at. And I sent them to you.
Yeah.
We'll get it now. It just came out March through July is the only time it's available. So paired well with ravioli with white wine sauce. if you're thinking of a
Chef Boyardee.
Yeah, Chef Boyardee. And fish, white fish. So lots of white stuff. My other favorite one of theirs is their Oktoberfest. I absolutely love their Oktoberfest beer. It's amazing. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
I've texted you about their Oktoberfest. Isn't their Oktoberfest slightly hoppy?
Yeah, yeah. Their Oktoberfest is a Marzen style beer. It toasted malt flavors and subtle spicy hop notes in it. So it's a little more hoppy than what people think of an Oktoberfest beer. They think of it's like, oh, it's darker, but it's not so hoppy. So that's why a lot of people like Oktoberfest beer. Theirs is more hoppy, which I love the IPA type stuff. So yeah, it is. And so even my wife's like, I don't really like their Oktoberfest beer. I'm like, I absolutely love it. So yeah, it's a little hoppier. I love this.
I would agree with your wife on that one.
Yeah,
definitely caught me off guard when I tried it.
Yeah, it's a little different, but I love it. Pairs best with brats, spätzle, pork chops, and pretzels. but one thing people love about Leinenkugel's is they have made famous. I know other places will do it. But they have made famous the Shandy beers.
Yeah,
Summer Shandy. They came out with a few years back. Is amazing. They take a lemonade flavor and brew it in their beer, and that is Shandy. And for those of you who don't know, Shandy beer actually was first produced in 1922 in Germany by Franz Kugler after a bicycle race. His tavern was overrun with thirsty cyclists, and he couldn't keep up. So he cut his beer with lemonade and soda so they didn't run out. Well, the place erupted. They absolutely thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
Like an art offer, but with beer.
Exactly. It's so good. You come in from mowing the grass in the summer, you have a summer shandy, it's the greatest thing in the world. Go ahead.
This is why I left them off my list. I got to be honest with you. I love their beers.
Yeah.
But shandies are not for me.
No.
I would put fruit in my beer before I drink a shandy.
No, okay. I'm going to stop you there. Okay. They have since went nuts with the shandies. I like summer shandy because of it's that like summer beer, okay? But they now have an orange shandy, grapefruit shandy, watermelon shandy, ginger spice shandy, harvest pumpkin shandy. They went nuts with them.
I think they have a shandy, which is actually just apple juice.
Yeah, and so it went a little too much. But the summer shandy, the original, that's where it's at. It's great. It's not my favorite of theirs, but it is really good. And they perfected the shandy beer. So our lady friends listening out there, because actually anyone who likes, a lot of people like shandies, but my wife loves summer shandy. A lot of people like them. But it is really good beer. And it is really good to sit on the patio in the summer when it's really hot. And you don't want to just have lemonade. You also want to get a little drunk. Drink a summer shandy.
Maybe I'll give the summer another chance. I don't know if I've ever had it.
Yeah. No, the summer one's it's the only one. It begins and ends with the summer shandy.
Okay.
Yeah, they get a little crazy with their shandies. Like, when I went on the tour, they were doing, they let us try, like, ones they're testing out. And I was just like, okay, that's enough of these shandies, you know. One thing, obviously, going through this, I have shown you, I've told you how much I love IPA beer. Leinenkugel's does not have an IPA beer. They have one called an IPL, which is the Indian Pale Lager, because they only do lager-style beers. It's good. It is good. I prefer an Indian Pale Ale more than this lager, but because they came out and they're like, everyone's doing IPA, 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 we'll come out with our own, and it does sell pretty well. And so they do a lot of them, but yeah. Yeah, there you go. That's what I got a lot about Leinenkugel's. I absolutely love Leinenkugel's. Their seasonal beers are amazing. I love that they're local. I love that now that they're local, but everyone can get them. Like, you know, before, I remember moving to Oklahoma and everyone's like, did you ever hear of Honey Vice? That's what people would ask me. I'm like, yeah. And I'm thinking, I can't get it here. Like, no, this one store has it now. And I went and like bought them out of everything they had. You know, so.
Also, Sunset Wheat is amazing.
Yeah, and you mentioned Sunset Wheat, which is like Fruity Pebbles in a beer, and it is. It's really good. I love. And one thing Leinenkugel's does And if you go on the brewery tour, and you probably get this on their website too, they give you a little list of all their beers. And on the back of that list is a recipe card. And what it is you take, like, it'll say, you take their berry vice. They have honey vice, which is the really good one. Berry vice is more of a berry flavored. I don't care for it. But you take the two and you mix them, and they call that their honey bear vice. And their beers are able to mix them, and you make other beers, and they don't taste like shit. They're actually pretty good. And so that's another cool thing is, like, you can mix and match your beers, and they encourage it. You go on their website and you find all their stuff, and they encourage that. And so it's really cool.
So this is beer.
Well, good choice, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Got to stay a little local with that. Well, hopefully, after your crack about Wisconsin, maybe that'll make them happy.
Yeah. I actually have nothing against Wisconsin. I just knew that it was your bordering state. I actually like Wisconsin.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Anyway.
I've only been to Madison, and I had a great time.
Madison is... Oh, Madison's amazing. I love Madison. Okay. Anyway. Well, let's go on to your number one, Jim, because I'm getting pretty drunk here, and people are probably turning the show off right now.
We've been going on quite a while on this one.
I'm sorry.
My number one just barely made our criteria of distribution.
Okay.
It's a Cleveland beer called Fatheads.
Okay.
And Fatheads distributes to 6 states currently. So it just squeaked past our cutoff that we had talked about. But you can get it in other states. It distributes to right now Portland and Washington and Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and one other state, maybe Michigan. I'm not really sure on the last state.
Okay.
But their tap house where they actually brew was right by my house. It's about a mile away, and it's in the back of a warehouse, and you can go in there and sit at their little bar and just drink.
Nice.
And all their kettles are right there. It's pretty cool. But so Fathead Saloon was on the south side of Pittsburgh in 1992, and it was just a restaurant, and they had a lot of craft beer, not their own, but they served a lot of craft beer and sandwiches called Headwitches. And if you look at the Fatheads logo, it kind of looks like Peter Griffin. It's like a cartoon, almost a Peter Griffin look. So every one of their beers has that same logo, but then they change it for whatever beer it is. So it's a different cartoon of that same character, depending on what beer you're drinking.
Okay.
The owner of that restaurant teamed up with brewer Matt Cole, who apprenticed at the Baltimore Brewing Company. And then he worked at Penn Brewing and Great Lakes Brewing.
Oh.
And then he went on to work for Rocky River Brewing. And he spent more than a decade there and won a bunch of awards of national brewing stuff and all this fun stuff. So that guy who worked for Great Lakes, which you've mentioned, went out to start his own, which was Fathead. So he teamed up with the restaurant owner in Pittsburgh and opened up a brewery in a suburb of Cleveland called North Olmsted. So that's where their main brewery is. Then they have this tap house in the back of a warehouse where they actually do all their brewing. And then they opened up another brewery in Portland in 2014. And Portland is huge for brewing, Widmer Brothers and a ton of other ones. It's a very good local brewery scene, kind of like Denver's got. So Portland and Washington, hopefully that'll launch them so for more people to actually know who they are. And I have a friend who lives in Philly who just bought a keg of their stuff. He has a kegerator, and he came here and drank at the place with me and then went home and bought a keg. So that's kind of cool that they're actually getting out there. But they do a lot of not quite as crazy as what Dogfish Head does, but they do a lot of different beers. They do a year-round, it's a honey blueberry wheat called Bumbleberry. It's really good. Their Headhunter IPA is the IPA that launched me onto IPAs. It's phenomenal. And a lot of their stuff is very Grateful Dead themed. Their slogan is Peace, Love, and Happiness. And it's very like a lot of Grateful Dead stuff. So one of them, their Session IPA is called Sunshine Daydream. They have a stout called the Shakedown Stout. They do a good Oktoberfest. Their Trailhead IPA, it teamed up with the Metro Park Trails here in Cleveland, which is a series of miles and miles and miles of park trails and different parks and streams and fishing areas and all this like really cool stuff. So proceeds of that beer contributes to the Metro Park here in town, which is cool. They make an Oompa Loompa chocolate cream stout. They do a their head trip is a Belgian triple, which I told you I love. Their seasonals are amazing. They made a Pimp My Sleigh, which is Christmas, and their Holly Jolly is their normal Christmas, and they do their Holly Jolly bourbon barrel age, which is amazing. Their Spooky Tooth is their pumpkin or October beer, and they do that bourbon barrel aged. And then I also got that red wine barrel aged. So they do a lot of different aging processes, which is really cool too. I love everything that they do. Doesn't matter what it is, their beer is amazing, and hopefully they can start distributing out a little bit more, but you can get them if you're in the right area.
Well, good. Well, when I come visit, I for sure, because we can't get it here in Minnesota yet, but when I come visit there, I want that beer, especially that IPA.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, it's the best IPA. It's my favorite IPA of any of them that I've ever had.
Well, good, good.
It's amazing, and it's one that gets in a pack, which really sucks, because it's like $12 for a four-pack of bottles, which always sucks.
That's the thing about these beers, like they're expensive, you know. But
yeah.
But I think it's
Speaking of expensive, I touched on, and I might even mention this exact thing, Costco, and you can get a 40, I think it's a 48 pack or 43 pack or something crazy for like $23 of their light beer.
Really?
Yeah. It's like an enormous cube you need a forklift to pick up.
Well, you know. Gotta love Costco. You can get that with your large jar of olives. So, well, good, Jim.
Yeah, but we bought olive oil, and I won't buy it again for 4 years.
Nice. Well, you cook a lot with olive oil. At least I do, anyway. Well, Jim, this has been our longest episode.
It is so far right now on my Skype call. It's an hour and 48 minutes.
Yeah.
We do a little bit of bullshit beforehand, but we're looking at probably like an hour 40 right
now. Yeah, 140, 141 right now. So if you're good, still with us, thank you for listening.
I hope this broke up 4 days on your drive to and from work.
I know. Well, anyway, thanks again. Anyway, but we'll be back next week with a little show, and then we're gonna get back into the entertainment business. What do you think? We'll get a little maybe TV movie action going on.
Love it.
Okay, well, Jim, let's wrap this up. Let's not make this too painful for the people here. Jim, real quick, everyone can find us on Facebook, and Twitter and Instagram once Jim figures out the password, and you can email us at tomandjimstop5@gmail.com, and you can find us on Stitcher, Podbean, and iTunes, and you know, please subscribe to us, you know, so you can it'll automatically download to your phone, and give us a 5-star rating or any rating, but we prefer 5, and you know, that helps us, that helps people find us, that helps us get out even more. So please do that. And Jim, I'm going to need a nap after this.
Lucky you don't work tomorrow.
Oh, thank God. All right. Well, Jim, I'm going to let you go. I will call you back in 5 minutes. Probably not.
I'm on pins and needles.
All right. I love you, buddy.
Love you more.
All right.
Bye.
And then me and my friend were about to press it, but the man said not to press it. But we pressed it anyway, and we ran and we hit in the giant tire. Oh, yeah. And my other friend was already there.
All right. Now you're overstimulated. Let's get some beer in you, and then it's right to bed.
Woohoo!